There is no art up here except green for a while on the thank you card, but and that's because, you know, this ordinary season of Pentecost that goes on, you know, 28, I don't know how many weeks, it's a long time, and there's so much going on, it's just hard to come up with an image, you know. Year A, the year of Matthew, it begins with that creation story, and that kind of dominates and introduces the season. But the other ones aren't like that. So, anyway, I've been talking to Pastor Eric and Beth, and we decided we'd do a tree of life, and that's an ancient symbol, and comes to mean different things. Finally, is fulfilled in the cross, you know, the tree. But and then our lesson today has the gifts of the Spirit. And so we decided we'd put those together because these gifts of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of them, they are themes that you'll hear again and again and be illustrated by parables and other lessons. And then we'll be able to grow this tree of life. So hopefully that will begin next Sunday. We had this pig thing at our house last night with a lot of people, and I had a busy week. So you can anticipate how you would do that tree of life and see if it's going to be anything like mine. Probably not. Anyway, I also almost volunteered to do this, which is, I thought, very weird. Because I remember some years ago when Catherine Card was the intern here, some of you old timers will remember this about, I don't know, 12 years ago probably. We had an intern conference, and there was a small group discussion, and all these soon to be pastors were worried about things and talking about, like, how do I do everything I'm supposed to do and authority and all that. And I said, kind of off the top of my head, not knowing quite what I was saying, but I've thought about it a lot sometimes. I said, one of my gifts is that there are some things that I am so completely inept at that I can't even possibly fake it. So, and on that list was stewardship sermons. I mean, I hated stewardship sermons, and I avoided them. Except, as soon as I wrote that, there is one exception. I did preach one really good stewardship sermon once when the stewardship committee told me I was going to preach a stewardship sermon, and it better be good. So, it was one of those Garrison Keillor ones, and so I played Lake Wobegon, and Pastor Inkfest had this nightmare on Saturday night, woke up in terrible thing because he had this dream, a nightmare where Jesus on the beach remembers with Peter, and he says, you know, Pastor Inkfest, do you love me? And Pastor Inkfest said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, fleece my flock. Did it again, you know. Pastor, do you love me? Yeah, shear my sheep. Went on like that three times. Oh. Anyway. So, every once in a while, in fact, you know, at Rotary the other week, some guys was telling a story about inviting somebody to church and didn't want to go because that line, you know, they're always talking about money. I said, where does that come from? That was certainly not true of any church I served. at least by me. And I hated to ask for money. And almost all pastors do. I mean, really. And here is why it's so hard. I knew that you knew that some of what you gave to church was going to my salary. an impossible situation, you know. I mean, gee, even though I'm a radical incarnationalist, you know, and God works through strange people sometimes, it was hard to do, you know, that God thing as my salary. You know, just... But that's not true anymore, so that's why I'm doing this, you see. Although I do get a pension, yeah, and you did participate in that. Thank you very much, by the way. But anyway, I have heard it said that if you looked at somebody's checkbook, you would have a good idea of who that person was and what their interests were and commitments were and values were. And so I thought, I wonder if that's true. So I looked at my checkbook. And I was remembering, I did that because I was remembering Trudy's remarks of a couple of weeks ago where she said in her home, you know, one of the things you never talked about was money. And that was certainly true in my home. And I have no idea what my parents gave to the church, how much it was, what percentage was. But I did know that whatever it was sure, it was steady, it was central. That was important. But I'm thinking, I wonder if there was anything else they gave. You know, I think one of the reasons why it's more difficult for churches today is in the old days when, that's basically what they gave to was my church, First Lutheran. And there was maybe something else, you know, but it wasn't very big, it wasn't major. You know, I mean, my parents never went to high school. You know, I'm finished high school, let alone college, seminary, or some grad school, having development committees call them regularly, you know, to keep things going, for example. The whole dynamic was different, huh? So if you looked at my checkbook, for example, you notice for about 25 years or so, Mary and I have been, we send $100 a month for over 25 years to this thing called the Grunewald Guild, which is this organization about art and faith. I said, well, you know, I figure if I'm not going to support some group like that, who is, you know? So I got to do it. My daughter Jen's up there, and one of her classmates and friends is a pastor in Washington, D.C., kind of an experimental thing, house church deal, committed to the poor. Really. Now, it's by definition going to be a struggle to make it go, right? Just so, of course, you know, we got to send something monthly to help them. I remember when I was a kid in my home church in Duluth, Minnesota, some missionary came one day from Africa someplace, and I still remember it because it was weird and wonderful and exotic and really a long, long way off from home. And little did I suspect that I would ever go there, let alone give monthly again to an organization working in education there that I played a role in starting. You know, I mean, it's just a wonder. So anyway, you get my point. I think that's probably true. That kind of thing could go on for all of us. For me, that means that it's got to be a little more difficult for the congregation, but it also reflects the success of, you know, my church upbringing in trying to be a faithful steward to the gifts God has given me and giving to others who need it even more. And so that's kind of a double thing. It worked. The church worked, you know. But still, for me and Mary, central, it's still the church. It's the congregation, St. Mark, who receives the first, by far the largest, time, money. It's central to who we are. And if you looked at my checkbook, you would say, St. Mark, yeah. And if you looked at my life, I would hope, you say, hey, St. Mark, those people, my gosh, I wonder who they are. They're pretty important to this family. So I am surprised that it's here where the love and grace and care and compassion for others, of sharing and generosity that God has given us and wants us to continue, hits the road and is the message. So this is for us, central, first, and always will be. And I hope that's true for you as well. Thanks.